So when you were in California and you heard about Katrina, what went through your mind?
I was in Boston with my wife's family, flying from Boston to San Francisco, which is like a 7-hour flight. It's a ridiculous flight. When the storm actually hit, they had the TV on. It was this loop of the flooding and people, looking for help. And so, I couldn't wait to get off the plane and find out what was really happening and, call my family. And I got home and rushed to the TV, and it was the same loop. And it's like, okay, it's been 12 hours or so, and nothing has changed. No one is being, the images look the same. People are on their roofs. People aren't being rescued. There are mobs and mobs of people on the highway. I just couldn't believe, and I was devastated for those 5 days, like the horror of seeing people struggling like that with no help. For someone who grew up in New Orleans and then went through New Orleans public school systems and made it to Yale Law School and felt like I was representing maybe the future, of New Orleans and the future of America and how things were improving in America, to see that and see the response to people who were impoverished, the response that seemed racialized, was, it was like a wake-up call for me that, like, this, we got a lot of work to do in America around race and poverty.
Did you wish you were there?
I did. I wished I could help rescue people. I wished I could be in the muck, finding people. But I also wanted to be where people were landing. When I came to Atlanta, I started a project called New Roots, which was all about helping young people and their families, families who had been displaced from New Orleans to Atlanta to get rooted here. My experience with young people from New Orleans who came to Atlanta was they were victims. They were often jumped, robbed in their homes because they didn't have family members and cousins who could look out for them. They didn't have connections in the community that would kind of provide a buffer from being preyed upon. And they were moved into communities that were impoverished communities, communities that already had high crime. And a lot of times, they don't know the gang lines and territories and all that. And a lot of the young people I worked with were frequently in fights to defend themselves from being picked on, from being like attacked. All that to say, I wished I could have been in the midst of actually rescuing people, but I'm glad that I got to actually go where people had landed and to be a part of helping people feel like the spirits lifted, but also witness how people were treated in the communities where they landed.
What did you hear from young people at the time?
What I heard was a lot of, feeling out of place, feeling scared, feeling like, a lot of them had gotten into some sort of trouble. And I don't mean necessarily with the law. I mean like with their peers, from having talked to the wrong boy or talked to the wrong girl and, going in the wrong neighborhood, wearing the wrong thing. I heard a lot of like deep, deep desire to go home. But also the younger ones, so a lot, I worked with kids as young as 8 up to like 17. The younger ones who were like 8 and had been in Atlanta since 5, they had no real recollection of New Orleans, and they didn't care. They didn't have any desire to go back home. They were like, what is that? This is home. So in the family, that's a lot of dynamics going on top of like just trying to make it and trying to get stable. Mama's hustling and feeling hopeful because she's like, I got a better job. I'm on a career path. I'm back in school. I am doing it. We are staying. The younger one, like, New Orleans who? New Orleans what? I don't care. And then the middle one's being like, I miss everything. But that's some of what I heard from them.
How has this experience of moving to Atlanta, being a New Orleans native and also working with New Orleans youth, how did that end up influencing your work as a storyteller?
I believe my storytelling life was born in all of this. I'd always written, but I never shared. I started sharing really after Katrina. I had all this pent up emotion. I started participating in poetry slams, spoken word poetry slams. I started winning them and like, you know, realizing not only was I going to get on stage and let out, you know, some of what was pent up, but that people would get something out of it. And so when I came to Atlanta, I started writing a book, Mass Transit Muse, just over many years of like, I write a few pages here and there. And then finally Mass Transit Muse, when I had finished writing it, I realized it was a performance piece. So it's written in rhymed and metered prose, poetic prose, and it's meant to be read out loud. And so that's how I wrote it, is by reading it out loud to myself as I was writing.
Would you like to read that chapter that you brought?
So the book is called Mass Transit Muse, and this piece is called Memorial Drive, and it's about kind of that transition from New Orleans to Atlanta. It's not as detailed as I have been around the personal experience, but more about historically what Atlanta kind of is in the ethos of the South, and in particular in relationship to New Orleans from a New Orleanian's eyes. So, Memorial Drive. When we arrived, what had been Elysian Fields, New Orleans, became Memorial Drive, Atlanta. Memorial Drive, haunted by memorialized Confederates, ghost soldiers on the trails of slaves railing against their captive plight into night. Memorial Drive, a dividing line in the city too busy to hate, a city that separates at fault lines that traces to quakes like the 1906 riot of race when Atlanta reverberated with postbellum rage and chose the birth of a nation in its postpartum fate. In the quiet sense, a Cold War is contained, insulated by economics, discreet deals between the city's gray elite in back rooms where they trade neighborhoods for a tenth of influence, public schools for public faces in places of power, a black bourgeoisie bold between columns of white power structure, a privileged minority of the black majority, precisely placed to placate the masses to avoid another rupture. It is the South, gorgeous Atlanta, where a universe of trees bursts with hidden streams that soothe heat like phoenix tears, resurgent in the gleam of glass towers, magnificent as antlers on a buck, where hilly, radiant seasons bloom as flowers and offer a rhythm that frees one from feeling stuck, that breeds in one a sense of luck, where change is always around a bend in time, where struggle can turn to hustle and be the breath of a success that ends in rhyme. We were welcome to Atlanta, the Elysian Fields of the South, an ornate Gothic steeple teetering atop the Southern Dream. Along Memorial Drive, on one side, you can see a tide of wealth rise through the hip of Cabbage Town, up the funk of Little Five to crest in the mansions of Inman Park and up, up into the mirrored glitter of Midtown skies. Along Memorial Drive, on the other side, it looks like Katrina hit Normandy, a barren beachhead littered like a little Vietnam with hollowed out broken brick ranches, graffiti castles, and a haunted high-rise that litters the sky. When we New Orleans gypsy cousins flooded Atlanta in caravans, she extended a hand of Christian charity and then clutched her purse. It's taken a decade to begin to understand Atlanta's curse and why her lips are pursed along Memorial Drive.
Before Katrina happened, did you expect to move back to New Orleans?
I did. I always thought I'd move back. I mean, I still dream of moving back. I mean, I have two kids now, and I've always had a dream of being the mayor of New Orleans. I don't know how realistic that is, but it speaks to my feeling that I'd never really be fulfilled in my life as a social change agent unless I go home and do some positive work there. So, yeah, I still dream of going home. It's home. There's not no other place I can be comfortable. I can be comfortable and enjoy myself in many other places, but I always feel like I'm away from home. And I think that's probably true for everybody from New Orleans who remembers it. You know, like I said, the younger generation, they may not But I certainly do.